that came out from the angels was one of incredible hope. It's for any person whose heart is open to receiving grace and forgiveness to start a new life in Christ. Today we're going to talk about another dimension of that message, and it's peace for all. So last week was hope for everyone. Today is peace for all. And in your sermon listening guide, there's a key verse that I want us to read together. Actually, two verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Let's read these two together. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels made the announcement of the birth of Christ, there was content that talked about peace toward mankind. And so the theme of today is peace for all. And I want us to talk today about how peace is something that God wants you to experience in your life. But I want to begin by reading a paragraph by Chuck Sly. Here's what he writes about peace. One of the longings of humanity throughout all ages has been peace. As long as there has been war, there's been a desire for peace between nations. But there is a deeper longing as well. There is always beat within the heart of all people the desire to be at peace with God, to be at peace with themselves, and to be at peace with others. And yet, all three kinds of peace have eluded humanity for millennia. Now, in the Bible, the word peace is used some 400 times. That doesn't include the other verses that are synonyms or allude to peace. And so peace is prominently mentioned in the Bible, and God wants his children, his people, to experience this thing called peace. The problem is, as we look around the world, there are some 27 conflicts worldwide. People fighting each other. Depending on the source, one listed 27. Another said there are 10 major conflicts happening in the world today, around the world, of people fighting each other. The world is hungry for peace. And we find that the announcement of the angel to the shepherds that day was that peace is a value of God that he wants to be lived out among his children. And so as we think of peace, here's a simple definition in your notes. It's a state or a period in which there is no war. This is the global hope of the world, that we would experience a time in life where there's no conflict or war. That's the big picture definition. But here's the personal one. Peace is freedom from disturbance in an individual heart. Freedom from disturbance. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about three kinds of peace that the Bible mentions. And what I want to do is points one and two I'm going to spend some time, but the third one is where I want to spend the most time talking about peace in our individual hearts. So take your sermon listening guide and let's get started. Three types of peace. Number one, the first kind of peace is peace with God himself. It's peace with God. Read with me Ephesians 2, 14 and 16 in your notes. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus came for a reason. And the reason he came to earth was to destroy the hostility of sin in our hearts. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and everybody in the human race has a problem. We are not interested in God because our hearts have been filled and contaminated with sin. But Jesus came to destroy that. And when he died on the cross, in fact, he pulled down, destroyed, nullified, overcame, defeated the barrier in our hearts, which was hostility toward God. He defeated sin. So when the angels made the announcement about peace on earth toward men, here's what they were saying. God's mission is for you and me to experience an abundance of peace in our life. And the most important peace is peace with God himself. Read with me Romans 5:1 in your notes. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul is saying. It's a faith transaction that when we trust in Jesus Christ as his sacrifice for sins on the cross, and we put our trust in that, all of a sudden something changes on the inside, and it's called we have peace with God. I hope that everyone here today and those listening online have a sense of peace in their relationship with God. This, of all three of them, is the most important. You know why? Because everyone here needs to know and trust and believe that your heart is at peace with God as we journey through life. He wants us to experience that. And so I've got a few slides I want to show you. Here's the first one. N-O, God, N-O, peace. K-N-O-W, God, and K-N-O-W, peace. I mean, no God, no peace, but if you know him, you can know peace. And understand, God wants to pour it into your life that you have that assurance of his forgiveness and grace. Here's another one. Peace isn't found in a place. It's found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning or listening online, and you're trying to figure out peace in your own heart, if something isn't quite right, it's found in the person of Jesus himself. Jesus said, these things I tell you, I will give you peace, and that peace can be found in me. It's not what the world gives us. It's what he himself can give us in our relationship with him. And here's what Charles Spurgeon said. Live near the cross, and your peace shall be continual. If you and I want peace, we have to realize that this upward vertical connection with God is the primary pipeline. It's the source of we feel at rest in our hearts. Another human being can't fix that. It's only God himself, through our faith in Christ, does he somehow put into our life this deep sense of peace when we are connected to him. So that's number one, the vertical, peace with God. Number two, the second piece I want to talk about that the Bible addresses is peace with others. Peace with others. And this is the outward relationships we have with other people. Read with me Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 in your notes. Make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I like the first line. The writer says, make every effort to live at peace with other people. We have a part to play in the peaceful relationships with other people. And so the writer here says, hey, when you do your part, you do everything you can to live at peace with other people. I've got some advice for the Christmas season. And I got three slides. And let me preface it by this. Everybody here is probably going to be partaking of a meal or two with family or friends, neighbors. It could be at the office. It could be a host of places. And sometimes we run into people, family or otherwise, who can be annoying or kind of rub us the wrong way. Does anybody have anybody like that? Or we got one hand in the back row. Thank you, Jen. Everybody else is good. I want to come to your place for Christmas. That's great. But here's three simple slides of advice for Christmas, all right? Here's the first one. Peace of mind comes from not wanting to change others. So when you think about your Christmas gatherings and the people you're going to be with, say, you know what? I'm going to go, and that person across from me, I may or may not totally agree with what they're saying and how they're living, but don't try and change them. Just influence them through your love, all right? Because trying to change somebody else can escalate into a sense of friction in a relationship. So just go with an open mind. Say, hey, I'm just going to love people. I'm not going to try and change them. I'll let God do that. Now, this next one is my favorite, okay? Here it is. When you have a choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. You will have this opportunity in the next few weeks. Guaranteed. And when you have the choice, you can be right or you can be kind. Now, when you think about living at peace with other people, we all have experienced there are times where you just have to be kind, you bite your lip, and you move forward. Now, there's times to be honest with people in a loving way, to talk about them. But if you have the choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. So read it with me. When you have a choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. Now, I want you to do one last thing, all right? I want you to turn to the person next to you, and let's read it again. When you have a choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. I knew that some people would enjoy that. All right, so here's the third slide. Here's the third slide in terms of advice for the next couple weeks. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." I want you to arm yourself with the armor of God before you go to a family gathering or any kind of an event. What do I mean by that? You clothe your heart with grace and kindness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." In other words, don't enter into battle unless you have to. There are times to do that, but on the other hand, a family gathering, a collection of people, don't go there unless you have to. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are they because they will be called the children of God. Have your life marked by grace in each of your gatherings this Christmas season. You know why? Do everything you can to live at peace with the people around you. So number one is peace with God. Upward, vertical. Number two, peace with others. That's outward. That's horizontal. Let's go to number three. The third type of peace is this. It's peace with oneself. In your notes is Philippians 4, 6, and 7 from the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. So peace with oneself. The circumstances of life can become a thief and a robber of the peace in our life. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Peace is something we all want. But when it comes to the peace with God, we can be good. When it comes to the peace with others, if we guard that and protect that, that can be good. But the peace with ourselves, when we deal with our own inner world, that is a place I want to spend the next few minutes. There was a study done by the University of Chicago, or pardon me, the University of Michigan, on worrying, and here's what it said. They set out to look at the uselessness of worry by a study, and here's what the results were. 60% of our worries are unwarranted. They just never happen. 60%. 20% have already become past activities and are completely out of our control. 20%. 10% are so petty, they don't make any difference at all. Of the remaining 10%, only 4 to 5% are real and justifiable. And of the remaining 5%, you can't do anything about half of them. So here was their summary thought. In other words, what they discovered was that only about 1% of the things we worry about are real, and 99% of the things we worry about are a complete waste of time and are fruitless. Don't worry about anything. It's a pretty tall order, is it not? So what I want to do is, as we think about bills, we think about kids, think about strains in relationships, as we think about our past, our anxieties of the future, losing a job, losing our health, or even questioning our salvation, whatever it is, we all have this inner world. And Paul says, there's something I want you to know, that you can guard and protect your inner peace by doing certain things. And so what I want to do now is share with you 4 keys to stop worrying. That if you and I follow these and apply them to our hearts, it will lessen the amount of distress and disturbance within our own hearts because of some issue or circumstance in her life. So 4 simple keys or steps. Here it is, letter A. The first thing is this. Make a decision to stop worrying. Is there anybody here that would say they are a worrier? Wow, you guys really outnumber the first service. You're wonderful. You're real honest. We all worry at some point. We're all worriers in some way. But we have to first make a decision to stop worrying. Now, in the Living Bible, the writer says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. I mean, that's almost impossible. But here's what it's saying. He knew we do worry about things. And he's saying through God's word, we have to practice pushing back against the things that we worry about. So he says, don't worry about anything. Now, here's a quote. I'll have Jake put it up. Set peace of mind as your highest goal and organize your life around it. Here's what it's saying. In other words, value peace in your life to such a degree that you will take steps to push back against the worry factor. And the way we do that is we make it a priority in our life and set it as a goal that we want to continue to live by. Now, here's the next quote. Peace does not dwell in outward things, but within the soul. Here's what it's saying. You and I are individually responsible for the level of peace we enjoy or don't enjoy in our life. Nobody else can fix it for us. It lives within us. It's an individual thing. Some people have high levels of stress, others low. A lot of it depends on how they handle the circumstances that have entered their life. So letter A, make a conscious decision to say, wait, I'm going to try and stop the worry factor in my life and dial it back. Letter B, this is the big one. Turn your cares over to God and leave them there. Turn your cares over to God and leave them there. Let me just say this. I think everybody here, including myself, we like to turn things over to God the best we can. But my problem is to leave them there. The people that have the highest problem of leaving them are the control people. I have a problem with leaving them with God. You know why? I'm trying to fix it. But when you and I leave them in God's hands, it frees us up in our inner world. Let's read together Philippians 4. It's in your notes. This is the NIV version. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? Let me read you a couple lines. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have sung that song hundreds of times, have we not? But I want to give you the insight that I think is critical in these verses of why I often fail of leaving it with God. I'm going to call it the handoff. Now I'll have Jake put that slide up. The handoff is this. The writer says, do not be anxious about anything. But we are. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. In other words, through prayer, we're going to release this to God. We're going to try and surrender it. We're going to give it to Him. And he then says, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the handoff. So in a relay race, when you have four people running around the track, the race is often won or lost in the handoff, is it not? Anybody track people or you've run in the past in the previous time? So we probably all have experienced that. The race can be won or lost in the handoff. Here's what happens spiritually. God is calling us to hand it off to Him, to release it, to somehow let it out of our grip. Because He says, come to me, and through prayer, you release it. Now, at that point, the other person grabs hold of it. And if we then pull it back, God no longer has it. We brought it back with us. So a relay race, two runners passing the baton, one sticks it out, the other one grabs it and takes it and runs with it. Our problem, my problem, is I'll often hand it out there, I'll stick it out there, but I often pull it back. That is the place where we are trying to do God's part rather than allowing Him to do it for us. Does that make sense? The handoff. It's the exchange. It's when I release it. And the problem, when I pull it back, I'm trying to fix it myself. So in Peter, it says, cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. The word cast, it means to throw or to release or to fling. And so we want to release to God through the handoff. The worry, the anxiety, the concern for kids or bills or medical conditions. We somehow want to give it to God. So here's a few pictures, a couple of slides. Here's the first one. Lord, today I'm giving you the wheel. Today I'm going to let go. I'm going to give you control. That's the handoff. Trusting you, Lord, lead me, guide me, direct my life. Lord, take the wheel. You see, it's a prayer of our heart. We give it to Him, and then we let Him take control. Where we get in trouble is trying to pull it back. Here's the next one. Believe that God is in control. There is no need to be stressed out or worried. When we say, God, you're in control of this, we give Him that right to take control of it. And he will receive it if we believe he will. And here's the last one. Anything under God's control is never out of control. You may be here today and you've got a situation in your life that is out of control. And maybe in the human realm it is. But if you give him the baton and you take your hand off it and you believe and trust, it's in his control, even though to us it's still out of control. Because anything under God's control is never out of control. And so understand, this is a big point. Turn your cares over to God the best you can and leave them there. All right, letter C. Letter C is this. Change your thought patterns. Change your thought patterns. Read with me Philippians 4:8 in your notes. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here's the deal. We have to think differently in our thought patterns toward our problems. It's an intentional decision to approach it from the Word of God's perspective. Here's a few slides. Here's the first one. When you fix your thoughts on God, God fixes your thoughts. Get into the Word, read the Word, and say, God, I'm going to focus on you, and let him tweak how you view the problem. Here's another one. Men are disturbed not by things, but by the view which they take of them. Here's what this is saying. It's how we see it. And sometimes we need to look at it differently. We have to think differently and change our thought processes, because when we do that, it somehow brings a greater sense of peace. And here's the last one. Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is rather than as you think it should be. You know what causes me some of the most stress in my life? My life isn't the way I want it to be. Maybe yours isn't either. You look out over it and you say, wait a minute, here I am, I'm this age, and it just doesn't, this isn't what I dreamed, I envisioned. Could be family, could be kids, with your life circumstance, and it creates great stress. But when we retrain our mind to see it differently as it really is and accept it, we take pressure off ourselves and we increase our inner peace. All right, and finally, letter D. The fourth thing about the fourth key to stop worrying is this. Be obedient to what you already know. Be obedient. So read with me Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So here's the fourth point. Just do the best you can to obey what you already know to obey. And it says, the God of peace will be with you. There's a story about a couple that went on vacation, and they forgot to take the trash out. And when they got home a week later, the house smelled from the trash. Now, here's the point. If we let trash build up in our lives, it'll begin to stink, and we can lose our peace. What do I mean by trash? One author put it this way. The unrestricted TV, the soap operas, the R-rated, even a lot of inappropriate PG movies, the questionable books, the sensual romances, the fleshly magazines, the rock music, video games that glorify unchristian themes, the list goes on and on. We have to get rid of the trash out of our life. You know what the best way to deal with trash? Do it quickly. We all get trash buildup in our life from stuff we see, from stuff we hear, not even intentionally wanting to do it. But it's a trash buildup, and it begins to stink, and it robs us of our peace. Paul says this, just the best that you can, follow God and obey him, and your peace will increase. So here's a quote. Peace comes when there's no cloud between us and God. No cloud. I like that. Deep peace comes when there's no clouds out there. So four simple things, just to review. Make a decision to stop worrying. Turn your cares over to God and leave them there. That's the handoff. Don't pull it back. Release it to God. Let her see. Change the way you think about it. God, help me to see this in a new way. Change my thought patterns. And letter D, be obedient to what you already know. Just take the trash out on a regular basis. Okay, here's my concluding slides. If you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you're living in the present. I kind of like that. When I look at my own life, if I'm down, it's probably from my past, or I'm anxious about the future. But if I could stay in the present, I have a greater sense of peace. Here's another one. Final slide. What have you got to give him this morning? What's he calling you to release? What's he calling you to let go of, to relinquish, to somehow hand off to him? You know why? He wants us to know peace. There's peace with God. That's faith transaction of Christ living in us. There's peace with other people, being careful how we interact. Then there's peace within ourselves. And the important thing is we take the steps to live at peace amidst all the turbulence in the circumstances of our life. Let's pray. First peace is peace with God. And if there's anybody here or listening online who's unsure of their peace with God, it's a simple prayer of faith saying, God, forgive me of all I've done and bring assurance of your presence into my life. Just by faith, ask Jesus to give you the deep-seated peace as you release the sins or the unbelief, whatever it is in your life. Just do that now. Here's the second category. It's peace with other people. Make a decision today. You're going to be a peacemaker this Christmas season. If you have a choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. And lastly, peace with oneself. Make a decision today to push back. Do it right now where you're seated. Intentionally experience the handoff right now. Turn your cares over to God and leave them there. Let go of the baton. Give it to him right now. Let her see. Change your thought patterns of how you think about it. Say, God, give me a new perspective. And lastly, be obedient to all he's told you to do. Take out the trash. If you got any trash in your mind or heart, just give it to him today through confession and cleansing and forgiveness. Father, I pray for every person here and everyone listening online that we will just give it to you. Whatever it is. There's some people here carrying some pretty heavy loads in their personal life, in their family, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whatever it is. And I pray today they will give it to you and let you control it and let you work, and you will bring great peace to every heart that does that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.